as part of the theme of Thanksgiving with that, let me read this verse to you from Psalm 69. The Lord gave me this verse. I think it's real fitting for a Thanksgiving offering next week. Psalm 69, verse 30. It says, I will praise God's name in song. I will glorify Him with thanksgiving. Did you know when you thank God, you are glorifying God? When you sing a song from your heart, that's pleasing to Him. In fact, the psalmist goes on to say this in verse 31, Psalm 69, 31. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hoofs. Now, that may not mean much to you and I, but in His day, those were big animals to sacrifice, right? Come on, Charlie, bring your ox to church. We got to kill the ox today for a big sacrifice to God. You know how much an ox weighs? I looked it up because I didn't know. 1,000 to 3,000 pounds. That is a beast. Right? That ain't just a little fluffy lamb you bring to church, you know, to the temple to be slaughtered. That is a beast of a cow. And they would bring an ox. And the psalmist said here, he said, when we give thanks from our heart to God, when we're grateful, that's more important to God than offering up a big old 2,000-pound ox. Isn't that something? God is good. Amen? I heard a great quote. Oh, lest I forget, for those of you that don't know, which there are probably very few of you, we have a new extended member of the church. The Allen Edge family has welcomed Jeremiah Edward Edge into the world. Amen? And boy, what a great thing. The goodness of God to him and Dolly to become grandparents in 2025. It's all over now, world. Look out. Praise the Lord. We just rejoice with him. Jeremiah was born healthy, and Mama's doing good. Everybody's doing well. Praise the Lord. We thank God for it. I heard a great quote this week. I want to share it with you. And it said this: an uncommon commitment to the advancement of God's kingdom. An uncommon commitment, right? You note that? Not just your average commitment, but an uncommon commitment. What is that talking about? Sacrifice. A willing heart. Sacrifice for the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you in that quote. And in an uncommon commitment, let this be said of the people of Believers Fellowship. Those people have an uncommon commitment to the advancement of the kingdom. That means whatever you're doing, whatever you put your hand to, you do it with all your might. Amen. It's not what you do in the kingdom. It's how you do it. The scripture says in Psalms, serve the Lord with gladness. He doesn't want you to just serve Him. He wants you to serve Him with gladness. Amen. Terry and I were reminiscing when we were in California a couple weeks ago for a minister's conference. We were right at the end of the conference. We both looked at each other one day, and what was on her heart just started to resonate with me. And she shared how, looking back upon her mother's life, Jonesy McNeil — most of you didn't know Jonesy, but she passed just as our church was kind of coming full strength around 2014. She went on to heaven. But Jonesy was an amazing servant of God. She gave to the body of Christ like no one else I knew. And Terry tells me all the time about, you know, she can remember as a child church dinners and big, events that her mother would just dive into the kitchen there at that church, whatever church they were at. And she'd be right in the thick of it, getting the food prepared, getting the dishes cleaned afterwards, everything. And then she learned instruments. She learned the piano. She learned the guitar. She didn't know that. She wasn't musical as a child. Her parents didn't afford her lessons. But as an adult, she said, I'm going to learn this because I want to worship my God. And she served God in every way she could. She had an uncommon commitment to the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen? And may it be said of all of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Especially today, I know they're out of the room now, but the young people, I just want to encourage them to serve the Lord with their lives. Serve the Lord. Make serving in the house of God a priority. Make the house of God a priority. Amen? I heard one man say the other day, he said, when I go away on a trip, my motto is back by Sunday. Yeah. Right? Why? What is that saying? The house of God means something to me. What happens here on Sunday is important. It's not just important that you be here for other people to see you. Jesus takes note. Back by Sunday. What does that mean? It means I make church a priority because you have something to bring to the table. At the very minimum, you bring your faith. And most of you in this room, there's probably 25, 30, maybe up to 35, about half more than a third of us that are actually on Sundays, we're at arms. I mean, we're at our stations, we're doing stuff. There's a lot of people in this room that are working together to make Sunday happen. For those of you that aren't quite yet that involved, still you bring your faith to the room. And as we've used the analogy before, the church is like Congress. You're like a senator. You don't show up for the meeting. This is every time we gather together in the presence of the Lord is doing something for the family. And when you're not here, you're missing. It's like missing a session of Congress. We could have you arrested for that. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. So I love that slogan, back by Sunday. Amen. 2025, the year of what? Multiplied grace. Say that verse with me. 2 Peter 1:2. Don't put it up there on the screen. Let's say it from memory. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's our memory verse for year. If you don't memorize anything else, please get 2 Peter 1:2 in your heart. Why? Because God wants to do that for you. He wants to do it for you in 2025, and there's still time for it to happen. Amen? Christmas ain't here yet, but it's coming. It's coming like a freight train too, isn't it? guys, beware. Go ahead and do your shopping while you have time. Grace and peace are being multiplied to you and I. Amen? And it comes how? Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. Getting to know how good God is and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you ready for the Word? That's all just appetizer. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit here now, ministering to our hearts, speaking to us in our deepest place of need, Lord. Whatever it is we need from You, we thank You that we have it in Christ right now as You come and put Your anointing upon the words of life in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5. Would you turn there, please? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. That's our opening verse. We're on a series called In Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 is sort of our lead verse for where we left off last week. I'll read it in the King James. And we have it on the screen here in the ESV. This is the version that our children are using. I thought the kids were staying in today. Isn't it Family Sunday? They took them away. I miss the kids already. Well, I will. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Aren't you glad? That's a statement of spiritual fact, by the way. No question asked. Old things are what? Passed away. Amen. All things. Behold, all things. Say all things. All things are become new. Let me start my message today by saying this slogan, and you'll understand by the end of the sermon how it relates to my message. Say this with me. What you wear matters. What you wear matters. The scripture here says the old is passed away. That's a spiritual fact. Look at this verse. I'm going to have Alan put it up on the screen so we can save a little time turning there. Genesis 49, verse 23. You have it? Genesis 49, 23. With bitterness, this is Jacob speaking about his son Joseph. You know Joseph in the Old Testament who went through all the betrayal of his brothers and the imprisonment there with Pharaoh and then being betrayed by Potiphar's wife. With bitterness, the archers attacked him, speaking of Joseph. They shot at him with hostility next. But his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Beautiful passage. You know, this aptly describes you and I in life. Since the day you were born, in fact, before you came into the world, before you were born, there was an enemy out there who hated you already. His name was Satan. And he did everything he could to kill a lot of us. Amen. How many of you can testify? Any trouble in your mother's womb before you came into the world? I know my mom had some trouble. Why? Because we had an enemy from day one. And they shot at him. Go back to verse 23. They shot at him with their arrows. With bitterness, the Bible says, they attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. Some of you have known some hostility in your life. You've known kids bullying you in school. Maybe your own siblings, ganging up on you, etc. You and I have been attacked all our life in some way or another. And yet, as verse 24 declares, but his bow remained steady. Amen? Aren't you glad? And that reminds me what we're looking at here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, old things, he's a new creature, because old things, that old part of your life, that part that where people attacked, that part where people showed hostility towards you, where you went through hell on earth, that's the old part. And you made it to this point in life. Why? Because, verse 24, go back to it, verse 24. His bow remained steady because of the hand of the mighty one. Amen? Because of the shepherd, the one who's been watching your life, the rock of Israel. Praise the Lord. Well, this is our part. The scripture says the old things are past. That's a statement of fact about you. Your old life is gone. Say gone. It's nada. The old you is taken care of at the cross. We're talking about the work of the cross. But then it goes on to say, and I love it in the King James, behold, Say, behold. What does that mean? Look at this. Take note of this. Acknowledge this. Focus on what? This. All things. All things. Did you know every area of your life the Lord wants to make new? Every area. And some of us have said yes to this area, this area, this area, this area. I can get tongue-tied saying that a lot. This area, this area, this area. And then you get to this area and you say, no, that's mine. I'm holding on to that. You know, the devil does his number on us. It's like a man who grabs an electrical current, an electrical cord that's got, you know, a fault to it. What happens? They say when that electricity starts going into your hand, if you're not careful, your hand will seize up and it will just hold that thing. And the power is in letting go. Your benefit comes when you let go of that cord, not when you hold it so tight. And the enemy's real good at getting us to hold on to things in our past. Listen, if you've had hostility, if you've had archers shooting at you in the past, Jesus wants you to let go of it today. Because those things represent the old things. That's the old stuff. All things. Say all things. All things have become new in Jesus. Amen? God did this. God did this. And he calls on us to fix our gaze upon that which is new. Not only to look at it, but to speak of it. Amen. We acknowledge in this church often that faith involves our mouth. Amen. We must declare what we believe. It's not enough to believe it in your heart. It's not enough to see it in the scripture and say, I agree with that. You've got to say, I agree with that. Amen. You've got to do some acknowledging with your mouth. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. Well, God did this work. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is describing the work of Jesus at the cross. The work is done. You know, all of the religions focus on this. They focus on this idea. Do. Do. That's the focus of all of the religions. They try to get you as a believer in that faith, in that religion, to do something. And Christianity is quite different in that it calls on us to acknowledge something that is done. You can read it out loud. Done. Amen? Say done. It's done. When that scripture says old things are passed away, that's telling you the truth about your past. You say, well, Pastor, my past is haunting me. That's because you're allowing it to haunt you. The scripture says, if you're in Christ, say, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Old things are passed away. Amen? And we saw from several scriptures we looked at last week that when Jesus died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he arose, I arose. Amen. We don't have time to look at all the scriptures, but if you're taking notes, write these down. Colossians 3:3. And it specifically says, for you died. Colossians 3:3. Galatians 6:14. Paul says, through the cross, I was crucified to the world and the world to me. That's Galatians 6:14. When it speaks of being buried, that's Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12. When it speaks of our resurrection, that's Ephesians 2:6-7. The New Testament is all about us acknowledging what has been done. Amen? It's about you and I looking at it, agreeing with it, and acknowledging it with our heart. That's faith. Amen? Faith acknowledges. I heard someone say, faith feels like joy. That's good, isn't it? Faith feels like joy. Because when you truly believe something, you partake of it even before you see it. Right? When you were a little kid, your parents looked at you and said, we're going to go to the amusement park. We're going to go, well, here in Houston, a long time ago, it was, let's go, we're going to go to Astroworld on Saturday. You know, when you were young enough, when your mom or dad told you that, it was as good as in the bank. Amen? You didn't have to wait till Saturday to get excited. You almost wet your pants the minute they told you. Why? Because you believed it. Faith feels like joy. Amen? But Isaiah cried, who has believed our report? He cried out, Lord, I see with my eyes, my spiritual eyes, what you're portraying before me. He saw Jesus 700 years before Jesus came on the earth. And he said, by his stripes, we are healed. Then he cried out to God. He said, but Lord, who has believed our report? You know, what I'm talking to you about today, the gospel of Jesus, the old being done away and the new coming. That is, in some ways, in the natural, it's too good to be true. That's why psychologists have jobs. Because there's a lot of people out there that won't believe the gospel. Now, psychologists may be able to help people here and there. Psychiatrists may be able to help people here and there. Counselors, they have a role in society. But for the believer in Christ, who was willing to believe the report, they can lay hold of that truth in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that old things are, this half believes it. How about y'all? Old things are what? That's it. And new, all things have become new in Christ. Amen? Glory to God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 and 24. Hallelujah. Paul said this. He said, this is my message. 1 Corinthians 1, 23. But we preach Christ crucified. That's my message. And he said, this message is to the Jews a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, in other words, those who believe, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. You know what that means when it says wisdom of God? It means you can't get any smarter than this. You can come to me for counseling after hours and you say, Pastor, I got all these problems. And I can say, you know what? I don't have anything to offer you any smarter than this. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. That's as smart as it gets. Amen? Jesus Christ crucified is the wisdom of God and is the power of God for you and I to be free. Need to be free in an area? Embrace this truth, what I'm talking to you about this morning. Amen? This is the gospel. In Him, we are crucified, and in Him, we are raised. Amen? In fact, this is such a vital message because it took God Almighty to come down in human form and deal with that sin nature of yours and mine, to put it away without killing us altogether, and then to raise us back to life so that Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's a mystery. How can I be crucified on that cross 2,000 years ago and yet something in me lives now? That's the new creation. Amen? This is what we are. This is who we are. I'm not cheerleading you this morning, but I'm pumping you up with the gospel. How many of you know it's important for us to hear the gospel on a regular basis? I know you're already saved. Most of us in this room have already accepted Jesus. But I'm telling you, to hear the gospel, it refreshes the soul. It refreshes you in these truths. You are crucified with Christ. You are raised with Christ. You are a new creature. Amen? Amen. You ought to do some shout right about there. If we had a Hammond organ player on the stage, that's where they would be cued right there. The Christian life is no longer about effort. It's about belief. If you're struggling, it's because you're not believing in that area. I'll say it again. If you're struggling, whatever area you and I find struggle in, that's the area we're not believing the gospel in. And what we tend to do, this is a sad reality, but for many Christians, we're struggling in an area and we've refused to believe the gospel here, so we turn to the world. And Paul said, be careful of those who turn away from this message I'm preaching and turn to philosophies. See, if you won't take your salvation from Jesus, where else are you going to take it from? We've done quite a bit of travel lately, more than I planned to, this end of the year. It's not just been for pleasure. It's been for business, for us to fill up with the Word of God, being at conferences. And at several of the bathrooms we were in different airports, I found this funny, funny sign. You've probably seen it. It's got a picture of a glass full of water and a big red line through it, like, do not do this. And then it said, toilet water, or this wastewater is recycled, or this water is recycled. And I'm thinking, why do they need to tell me not to drink the toilet water because it's recycled? I had no interest at all in drinking the toilet water to begin with. But you see, if you turn away from that which is pure, that which is good for you, that which is supposed to be palatable and whatever that word is, it's like palatable, but it's palpable, whatever. Potable, yes. That which is potable. The only place, if you turn away from the water source of life that is potable for your spirit man, the only place you can turn to is to the sewer. This gospel I'm bringing you today is your hope. That's why Paul called it the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is the hope of you and I being able to break free of any addiction, any bondage, any enslavement, any old thing from our past that just is haunting us? It's believing the gospel. Believing that when Jesus came out of that grave, you too came out. Hey, saints, this is how you got saved. And it's how you get sanctified. Right? So we have to go back to our roots. This is what got us into the kingdom. This is what keeps us walking in the kingdom. Amen?
That's right.
Praise God. I like the way Watchman Nee says it. He was a Chinese pastor who was in prison the last 20-some odd years of his life, died in prison. Died a martyr for Jesus back in the 1970s. I think in 72 is when he passed. But he said this. He said, when I sit on a chair, if I could say it like him, I don't know how he talked. The strain no longer falls on our muscles and our nerves, because it's falling on something outside ourselves. I know that's so basic. Chinese are so good at looking at something so basic, right? And speaking of a proverb like that, to put it in those words. But that's so true, isn't it? When we rest on a chair, what's happening? Our muscles and our nerves are relaxing because they're relying on something outside ourselves. Who's that a picture of? Christ. Amen? I'm not dependent on myself. You can't overcome. That's why you needed a Savior. Got a habit you can't kick? Turn to the Savior. Turn to Jesus. You can't kick it. You weren't meant to kick it. Would be to God that all of us find something in our life we can't kick, so that in that area alone, we were reminded that I need a Savior for my whole life. Amen? I need a Savior in every area. His name is Jesus. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're kind of hanging out in Paul's neighborhood this weekend. Ephesians, we looked at Corinthians, Ephesians. Be like saying Texans. These are all cities that existed back in Paul's day. So when he wrote to the Ephesians, they lived in Ephesus. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Glory. Amen. Believing the gospel is glorious. And if it's been a while since you tasted glory, you probably haven't spent enough time reading Paul's writings lately, because there's glory in it. Amen. There's glory in the what we call the epistles, the letters that Paul wrote. Ephesians 4, 17 says this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. My version actually says, I insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer live as Gentiles do. You could put the word heathen in there instead of Gentiles, because back in his day, Gentiles were the heathen. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them due to hardening of their hearts. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a constant lust for more. You, however, say me, however, you did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off, say put off, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. What does that mean? That means that every day your body, because you have an earthen vessel, you have a fleshly body, it's being tempted every day with another deceitful desire. Every day. There's something every day that's going to tempt this flesh. Right? You may not have eaten the pie yesterday, but all of a sudden today, your friend brings to work this great, great coconut cream pie. Right? You just can't resist. I hope someone's bringing something like that to the picnic. Anyways, where were we? Oh, yes. Putting off. The old man corrupted by deceitful desires. Verse 23. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. How do you do that? You read the scriptures. And I want to say specifically, read the epistles. If you're new in Christ, you need to read Paul's writings for two reasons. Number one, he wrote to the Gentile church. Say Gentile church. Unless you're Jewish, Paul's writings relate to you. What the big thing that broke out in biblical times in the New Testament was the gospel coming to the Gentiles, right? That's the biggest news of the New Testament. I mean, besides Jesus dying on the cross, you know, of course, our salvation. But I'm saying that the biggest outbreak, if you go from Acts to Revelation, the biggest news that happened was the gospel came to the Gentiles. And Paul wrote to the Gentile churches. Paul's writings are Romans, Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all those uns books, right? Colossians, Galatians. Read those books. Amen. That's how you become new in the attitude of your mind, as the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. Put on, say put on. We put on the new self, who is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. What that's saying is there, it's not a phony put on. You know, we say, oh, they're a put on. We talk about, you know, somebody who's a phony baloney. We say, oh, they're putting on. That means they're acting like something they're not. In reality, we are this. And Paul says we're to put this on. Amen. This is the good kind of put on. This is being who you really are. Amen. In another place, he says, you're like a lump of dough with no yeast in it. Yeast represents sin. And he said, so be this, because that's what you really are. So this put on is related to who you really are. When he talks about putting on Christ, when he's saying you are like God, say like God. Boy, I tell you, some religious people would take issue with that. But that's what the scripture tells us right there. You and I are like God in true righteousness and holiness. Meaning we're righteous through and through. Amen? There's no hypocrisy. There's no shiftiness. We are righteous in the Lord. We are holy in Him. That's who you really are. And Paul says you've got to do what? Put it on. Why? Because what you wear matters. Say it with me. What you wear matters. One more time so I know you got it. What you wear matters. It really does. And the enemy would have you continually be mindful of the old you. And Paul said we're to put that off. You know, the minute you start to reflect on failures, past pains, past blunders, past sin, past anything related to your old life, in that moment you need to go, oh, I see that. So I'm just going to put it off. Amen? And I'm going to put on Christ. What I'm talking to you about today is going beyond the message of forgiveness only. A lot of preachers preach just salvation, just get you in the door, just get into Christ. But then they don't talk about at all who you are once you're in Christ. So we're going beyond that. Amen? We're going into maturity. Maturity says, this is who you are. Today we're talking about in Christ. I'm putting on Christ. I am a new creature. Last week we talked about your old being done away with. Today's focus is more on the new creature that is you. And let me just give you an illustration that I think you'll appreciate. Okay? I'm going to move my pulpit over here so you can see real clear on the screen. Look up here on the big screen. This is Franz Reichelt. Say Reichelt. Good German name. In 1912, Franz Reichelt, a 33-year-old tailor, you kind of figure from what you see there, he's a tailor. He made that suit himself. Look at those blousy shin guards, whatever those are. In 1912, Franz Reichelt jumped from the Eiffel Tower testing a combination parachute and wingsuit. Before he jumped, he fooled the guards by telling them this experiment is going to involve a dummy only. And it really wound up being a dummy. So he got to the top, witnesses say he hesitated a good bit before he jumped. And then he jumped and fell to his death some 1,000 feet head first. The ending of Franz Reichelt. Why? Because what you wear matters. And unfortunately, Franz was born before the days of polyester. Now, if you'll turn your eyes, turn the lights off and turn your eyes to the big screen, I want you to see this quick film clip of Mike Fink. And he wore the right thing. That's something else, isn't it? That's how you jump from a tall place. Because what you wear matters. A man in a wingsuit, like you saw there, can overcome the laws of gravity, albeit temporarily. And in the same way, by being in Christ, by being in the right suit, you and I can overcome sin, sickness, death, depression, oppression, everything of this world, amen, that the enemy throws our way in his attempt to shoot at us, as we heard about Joseph. If y'all had only been there to remind Franz that what he wears matters. Polyester makes a difference, amen? Jesus said, I've laid the table. Will you come and dine? He told a story, a parable in the Gospels. He said, a man spread out a banquet, but the people he called to the dinner refused to come. Amen? May you and I not refuse to come to the table. Amen? May we come and dine and feast on all that Jesus has provided for us. To be in Christ is to have all of our past with its weakness, its failure, its brokenness to be done away with and to begin new again. Amen? The illustration we see in the life of the nation of Israel in the beginnings of the Old Testament is so vivid for us today that God said, I've given you the land. I've given this to you. Now you go and possess it. See, that message echoes into the New Testament. Paul writes to the church, the Gentile church, all through his letters, he basically says this, Jesus has done this for you, now partake of it. Right? It's time for you and I to behold all things have become new, right? The fact is they are new. It's our move now to behold it. And in that beholding to speak of it, amen? Because again, faith is a speaking faith. I encourage you to get into the epistles in the coming days and read over and over again what it means to be in Christ, in Him, in the Son, right? In the Beloved. All those scriptures are talking about you and I, because wherever Christ is, that's where we are. Amen? If He's high above all principalities and powers, you and I don't need to fear any demon. Now, you may not have had enough experience to fight the big demons if you haven't beat up a few little ones yet, but the reality is, in Christ, you're above them all. Amen? And you're above your past. All things have become new. Amen? Let's stand together. Say, I'm in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and tell Him thanks for just a moment. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that everything that's happened in life up to this point, good or bad, less than anything that You planned for us, Father, it's under our feet in Christ. Those things represent the old life. They are the past. And in You, we have become new. Lord, every day is a new day. Every day is a new opportunity to walk in You, to overcome the limitations of this world, to rise above the pull and the death of this world and this age. Lord, we thank You for it. The victory is ours as we stand in You and put our trust in You and speak of it in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. With your eyes closed for just another moment, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never given my heart to Jesus fully. I've never surrendered to Him. He's not my Savior. If you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life today, this is your opportunity. This is your moment to do so. With a hand lifted high, just say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus today. I want to be forgiven of all my sins. I want to receive eternal life. If that's you, anybody here at all, just lift your hand real high so I can see it. And we're going to pray a prayer in a moment for you to do that. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I need to be saved today. I need my sins forgiven. I need a new life like You're talking about in Christ. Thank You, Lord. Okay? Praise the Lord. We're going to pray this prayer together. Would you pray it out loud with me? Say, Father, You're a good God. I thank You for sending Jesus to die in my place for my sins. I acknowledge I have sinned in Your eyes. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come and save me, Jesus. Wash away my sins. Make me new this moment. I surrender to You. I surrender all to You, Jesus. And I thank You for forgiving me, for giving me a new life from this day forward. I'm Your child. You are my Father. You are my God, and Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord, my King forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We rejoice. We rejoice today, Father, for the blood of Jesus, the blood that's flowing, that takes away the sin of man, that takes away all the sin of the world. We thank You for redeeming us, for drawing us into Your presence, and making us Your child today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Well, I want to encourage you, saints. John 15:9, we shared with you a couple weeks ago where Jesus said this. He said, nourish yourself regularly in My love, right? That was a kind of a paraphrase of John 15:9. But He said, you need to regularly nourish yourself in My love. And as you read these letters, these love letters from God, if you will, they're not from Paul. Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit, but they're to the church. They're to you and I, and they speak of who you are. They speak of what God has done through Christ for you and I. And as you read that, you are nourished. You are made strong in the love of God. Amen. Be nourished in His love today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, greet somebody with a big hug as you go, and we'll see you at 3:00 at Briscoe Park for the Natural Feast.